Hey, welcome back to Women's Wellness Radio. I'm your host, Bridget Danner. Really happy to have you. So, if you're listening, this is our podcast, and I announced last week or so that we're now recording as video too. So, you can see our guest, Dawn Fleming, on our YouTube channel. We'll post it there. Hi, Dawn. And we also, I just noticed today that YouTube has a feature that auto transcribes. So, if you ever hear something within, not the early podcast, but from now on, if you see it on YouTube or if you want to read what we're talking about, if that's easier for you, just go to the YouTube and there's a little button there that you can see the transcription. So pretty cool. It's another way to check us out and share us. Let's see what else is new. Yeah, just also encouraging you to subscribe to the show on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube, and just share any episodes you feel are helpful. It really helps us out. So thanks so much for listening and watching, and let's get to it. So today we're going to talk about healing the energy body. And again, our guest is Dawn Fleming. Dawn is an energy healer and author from the Chandler, Arizona area, and she works online. She's also got her own podcast on Blog Talk Radio called Two Modern Mystics. So, welcome again, Dawn.
Thank you so much. It's great to be a part of this.
Yeah, we're excited to have you. Anything you want to add to that background? We'll talk more about some of your skills, but anything else you want people to know starting out?
Well, I've been doing this for over 25 years. I know a lot of people who take one class, all of a sudden they say I'm a energy worker and they throw up their shingle, but I've really been doing this for a long time and it's what has been my calling. And I just really enjoy helping people create that place of wholeness within themselves. That's where the real healing is. And we'll talk a little bit more about that, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm glad you shared that because I think some energy work gets a bit of a bad rap, and it has, I'll be honest, it's been a pet peeve of mine that you call yourself a Reiki master after like one weekend, right? The word master gets thrown around a
It
bit.
does, and that's what gives it. This is what gives this field a really bad name, is because people will take an all, intense workshop in 3 days, and like you said, call themselves a master, and they don't have any experience. And then those people go and run up to Sedona and say, "I'm a healer." And when people experience their energy, they go, "Wow, that was really awful," and they, give this field a bad name. So, yeah, I can relate.
Yeah, and that being said, there are lots of people who are really talented and have a lot of experience, and it is their calling. Like yourself, I've never worked with you myself, but I have, one friend who's kind of intuitive body worker, energy worker, and I mean, from the first time I met her, I could tell how deeply intuitive she was and how healing, and she's, been true to that ever since. So I think that there are really reputable people out there like yourself. So I wanted our audience to have an opportunity to find out about some of these other modalities because not every case has to do with, just straight up like fixing your thyroid or getting more exercise. There are different blocks involved. So before we got into it, I wanted to just kind of share some of my experience around that because I definitely believe in physical medicine. I mean, I'm studying lab testing right now. Like I'm pretty into science too, but there's also an emotional component that's been around long before science, right? It's like the beginning of
Exactly.
time, yeah, the beginning of life. So, yeah, I listen to one podcast that I love. It's called Art of Charm, and he's always real careful. He's like, I don't want to talk about anything woo-woo, and it has to be about science. But at the same time, what are we afraid of? Like, does everything have to be backed up by a scientific study? And just a few examples of mind body, say you're unhappy at work. You're unhappy in your relationship. It's causing you stress. Maybe it's causing you high cortisol. Then physically, what would happen, for one example, is you secrete less what we call secretory IgA that builds the lining of your intestines and your throat. And when that's weak, you get sick. You're sick all the time. You're getting infected. you know, maybe you have IBS. So there's definitely that crossover between the metaphysical and the physical. So just kind of acknowledging that that's a real thing.
Yeah, it's reality.
Yeah, before we get into healing the energy, 'cause yeah, it's important to say, you know, not I think not to just discard everything as woo woo. It's really deeper than
It's real.
that. It's real. So yeah, with that, I'd love for you to share a story you shared with me earlier, about, I guess it was 25 years ago or so, what kind of work you were doing, and then what kind of inspired you to kind of switch over to doing this energy work.
Well, thank you. About 25 years ago or more, my daughter, I was working for the federal government as an senior intelligence analyst, and my daughter ended up with a cataract on her eye at age 4 and a half, and she had surgery on it, and the doctors were telling her, or telling me, that it should heal very quickly, in that because it was a cataract, it blocked her vision and made her eye lazy, that by patching the good eye, the bad eye would heal quickly. And her eyesight was 20/400 in that bad eye. And it was not healing. And we went every 2 months for the doctor to look at it. And it was still stuck at, 20/400. And the doctor's like, wow, I don't know what's going on here. I'm concerned. And so some friends of mine at the where I worked whispered to me one day, can we work on your daughter? And I'm like, what? What do you mean? And they were like closet energy workers because, you're not allowed back in the late 80s, you're not allowed to tell anybody that you do energy work or you may be sent to a shrink. And they said, we do chakra balancing and we do Reiki and we'd love to have somebody to work on. So I'm like, does it hurt? And they said, no. So she began getting energy work from these people. And on the next appointment, her eyesight had like improved, I don't know, like by 50 points. And then as we went, it kept improving very quickly. And so I thought, wow, I want to learn how to do what they're doing because that's really making a difference. And so I went and took some chakra balancing courses, and they got together on a regular basis so we could practice. And in practicing, I realized that my intuition was really strong and that I had that gift. And from working with energy over such a long period of time, I've become more like a medical intuitive where I can see the energy dynamics that aren't working, sometimes see into the body, and even hear messages from the body. But over time, I mean, the eye was healing quickly, and the doctor said to us, said to me, don't expect the eye to ever get better than 20/100. And so by the time my daughter reached 9 years old, her eyesight was at 20/50. So we never told the doctor we were doing that woo-woo, chakra balancing and Reiki stuff. And after I took chakra balancing, it had so many steps in doing it. It kind of got in the way of the intuition that I ended up going through the Reiki program over a 3-year period and developing the Reiki. And that was just like, oh, this is exactly what I feel like energy work should be about. It has placements and some guidelines, but it allows you to sink in and allow your intuition to be involved. So that was my path. And after that, I knew that that's what I wanted to do, that government work wasn't what I wanted to do. So over time, after working on a lot of people for free, then I started doing it part time and quit in 2001 to do it full time. So.
So you got some practice too before you hung up
Oh,
your
yes,
shingle.
I practiced for about 2 years because you need to be able not only to talk about it with your clients, but you need to be able to work from experience. Not, you don't want the people that are paying you to be your training wheels. So.
That's great. So let me back up. So it sounds like she had surgery on one eye, and they said if you cover the good eye, the bad eye should repair, and it wasn't. And
And it
then
wasn't
she got to
because
work it.
when you cover the good eye, it's making you use the muscles of the eye that's not that's not as good.
Okay.
And by doing that, we did it every day.
Yeah.
Nothing was strengthening.
Yeah. So, yeah, another question I had, now you've been doing this for 25 years. What did they do, first of all, on her eye, and how do you think it worked exactly?
Well, with the energy work, you are more or less, you're not giving your energy to the person. So she would lay on this, like, massage table, fully clothed, and they're just putting their hands right above her eyes, around her head, like hand placements that would all impact the energy that flows to the eyes.
Okay.
And just like for a child, you don't need to do a lot of energy work, just like for 15 minutes.
Okay.
And then that would be it. We'd go like once a week and they'd work on her for 15 minutes. And there are processes to send Reiki at a distance. So they would be sending Reiki to her from a distance several times a week as well. And
okay.
Right now I have clients in all over the country and in Canada and England because you can send energy at a distance. You learn that in like Reiki too.
Okay.
So it is possible.
Okay,
I know
it's
a stretch for a lot of people.
No,
but
I think so. Yeah, I think so. And it's funny, I'm an acupuncturist, and 40 years ago, acupuncturists wasn't really accepted here in this country, but now it's fairly accepted, and it's
yes.
really just energy work, too.
It is.
So, yeah, we would do a similar thing, like we would, needle around the eye and the channels that go to the eye and organs that affect the eye and same kind of idea, but just bring energy to the area. So, yeah, really interesting. So a little bit more, tell us a little bit more about what you've studied, what else you've studied over the years. I'm curious.
Well, when you get on this path of energy work, some other things, you just meet people and you become aware of other processes. And so the chakra balancing, medical intuition, all the Reiki, and the Karuna Reiki deals on the emotional level. So I began studying that and finished that as well. And then the Course in Miracles really helps unblock your thinking, helps get you out of the ego and the fear-based energy and into that place of who you essentially are, your divine love. And so it's a really big book, and it has the middle part has exercises for every day, and it's really an exercise to help you learn how to think and see the world in a different way. And then the other parts of the book is content, and it's a really complicated writing, and you just take a little bit at a time and digest it.
Mm.
And I did 2 years in a group, which was good in many ways as well. And I'm an ordained minister, so I was 2 years in a Christian-based program and was ordained in 1995.
Oh, fun.
So and I've also gone on retreats with Buddhists, and, truth is in every religion, and I'm just kind of open to learning so that I can be and express more love and healing.
Yeah, so you've dabbled in lots of things, it sounds like. And I want to talk about at the end some of your books and what you offer. But for now, let's talk about a few examples. I want to maybe pique some of our listeners' curiosity. Like, what are a few things you've seen treated successfully with energy medicine around women's health or women's emotional health?
Well, for me, because I do have a lot of women clients, I've worked a lot with women who have fertility issues. A lot of times the doctors will say, I don't see a reason why you're not getting pregnant. Everything in there looks like you should. And the one person I worked with, it was like one session, and she was just so blocked up in her, the energy center, it's second chakra, in the right around the navel area. And the energy was just blocked. And just by removing all the blocks there, she called me up like the next day and said, "Oh my God, I've had diarrhea ever since." But it also impacted the physical body. And she got pregnant. And that was after 6 years of trying.
Wow.
And it not. Now, a lot of people, it doesn't happen like in one session because we're like an onion. We build all these blocks and, it takes a while to get it, done, to get unblocked. And I had one person who was 41 years old who went through IVF once and did not produce one egg. And she called me up and asked me to work with her. And she was in Colorado and I was here in Arizona, so we did it distance. And I was sending Reiki to the whole process as she was going through it, and she ended up producing 9 good eggs, and now she has a 2.5-year-old son. And the doctors at that point had told her, forget another round, just get it, either buy an egg or adopt. So now she has this child. So, for Reiki, for that fertility situation, helped boost her system to do what it needed to do. Because as you're getting to that point, like age 39 and older, it's not about parts not working, it's just biology is slowing it down. So the energy was able to help give it more of what it needed to do the job.
Yeah, that's pretty incredible. I've actually been studying fertility after 40 and egg quality quite a bit lately. So it's encouraging to hear that, because sometimes I feel like it's a pretty short list of solutions I can offer, It's tough, and then emotionally it's tough too. So, and again, not like we're latching on to something woo-woo, like you've really seen this help, and if there's something you can do to energetically support yourself, plus when you're once you become very afraid that you won't get pregnant, that's kind of blocking energy too,
That's
right?
blocking energy too. That's creating a whole dynamic there. Yeah.
Yeah, fertility is so complex. What else do you treat?
A lot of eye issues. It seems like glaucoma is a really big issue in the US. And once the sight's gone, it's gone. And I worked on the first person with glaucoma who had been diagnosed by three doctors as you've got glaucoma. And I just did a session on her once a week for 8 weeks and unblocked the energy around her eyes and got the energy flowing. And she was going to a fourth doctor because her husband was a surgeon, and he wanted her to see all the best. So he had her scheduled for Wilmer Eye Clinic. And when she, by the 8th week, when she got there, they said, "You don't have glaucoma." And she came back to me and told me, I said, "Well, when did you know it?" She goes, "Well, I kind of knew it at the 4th week when I could read my computer screen again." She said, "But I didn't know if it was wishful thinking or whatever." And so that was about 10 years ago, and she still, her eyes do not have it. And then the same thing, I was working with a man who had been categorized as legally blind, and he lost his license. He was in his 70s. They said glaucoma. And I just began working with him. He said, "I want my license back." I began working with him, and he got his license back. He got healed it. The energy balanced enough so that he could drive. His family was not happy, but he was happy. And even on myself, when I went to the eye doctor, they said I had high pressure, and they told me in 6 weeks I was going to get that test that they do for glaucoma. So I just began working with, balancing the energy in my eyes. And by the time I got the appointment, they said I did not have glaucoma, and the pressure had been lowered by 5 points in each one of the eyes. So it, to me, is that really is very tangible and shows that Reiki, can Reiki energy work by unblocking the chakra area and balancing the body's energy. It can make a difference. And in the Eastern world, they not only look at us as biological beings and emotional beings, they feel like there is an energy component as well. So when they go to treat a person, they treat all three. They're just not throwing drugs at you. They're looking at, where is the body out of balance and how can we bring it back into balance? So they're using a combination of all the great things that are here on the planet for us to get that balance.
So when you say three things, you mean energy, body, and nature, or what else do you mean?
Oh, energy, well, energy, when they're looking at you as biological, as having a bone, having a physical body.
Okay.
And they're looking at you as chemical, as having
Oh, gotcha.
hormones, blood, and also as energy. So
Okay.
So those three components.
Yeah, and to me, you know, it's funny. I've been doing acupuncture so long, I just sort of take it for granted, but which is funny, but it's like, well, of course we are energy. Like, what brings us into life? You know, what passes out of us when we become a corpse? Like, there's energy that's part of us. So yeah, that's really great. I love that. I especially love thinking of this old guy who, you know, he had this goal he wanted, and he was willing to kind of probably step out of his comfort zone to try this with you and get what he wanted. I love that.
He's related to the woman that was having the fertility issues.
Oh, interesting. So he had a good recommendation.
Yeah, he got a grandson out of it. So he's like, whoa, why not?
That's really great. Yeah, and, you know, I think it's so important. You can do your vetting, you know, you can make sure that you have a good reference for who you're seeing. But if you have a strong goal in health, you know, just keep going, pursue it, you know, who knows what's the thing that will work.
Exactly, yeah.
So great. Any other stories you want to share that come to mind?
Well, you know, I've taught a lot of students Reiki as well.
Oh, okay.
And one of the students that we had had several back surgeries. And when he took our Reiki class, he was told by the doctor, I'll see you in another 5 years. And that was back in 1997. And so he taught Reiki and just to learn how to do it on himself. And he's not had surgery since. And he doesn't have any of the back pain that he used to have. So that's just another example of how, you know, energy work can help, you know, fulfill a person's goal or establish that balance and, you know, that the body needs so that it's not going into that place of breaking down and creating more problems.
Okay, so physical issues too, pain and whatnot.
Yeah, pain, yes, definitely.
Okay, cool. Well, let's talk a little bit more about the chakras. It was kind of our choice of theme today. Yeah, so before we get into all of them, could you just give us a little understanding of the chakra theory, so to speak, or where it comes from and what's it all about?
Sure, that'd be great. Because, you know, all these energy modalities are really about balancing the chakras, your whole energy system. And the chakras are from, that system is from India.
Okay.
And so it was established, you know, probably way back in BC time frame. And the chakras are, you have seven main energy centers that go down the core of your body. And they spin like a vortex. And they bring energy, fresh energy into your body. And they let out the negative energy of things like you're angry, it lets it out. Because you don't want to hold that energy in your body. And when they're flowing and they're open, you're healthy. But when they get blocked up, or low, or depleted, it can impact your health and well-being. So if you have issues that you're holding on to, like negative thoughts, anger, or if you have accidents or a lot of stress in your life, this can impact your chakras. They can begin to close down. The energy can get blocked up in there. You know, you have a lot of people who are addicted to anger.
Mm.
And that impacts almost every one of your chakras. And, you know, they say in the U.S., we have a lot of heart problems. Well, if you're blocking your heart with anger instead of love, then that energy is going to go in there and break it down. And from the Eastern perspective, they say that before a person gets ill or sick, the energy of the chakra is beginning to shut down or be blocked up to 2 to 3 years before that disease manifests in the body. So they're seeing illness not only as a physical thing, but from a perspective that it's been caused because the energy of the universe is not flowing in there to support health and well-being, that it's been blocked off or it's depleted in some way.
That's a really good point. You know, I think I'm going to be a little mouthy here. And I think in our culture, we still have a kind of victim mentality about illness.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, like, oh, you know, my bad luck, I got cancer. My bad luck, I got this or that. And it's, you know, we don't want to blame people in that situation either, certainly.
Exactly. I don't want to blame anyone. Yeah.
No, but at the same time, I'd love to start to bring up the culture of just responsibility, and that also things progress over time, and there are signs that we're, you know, holding on to ill health, or, you know, developing ill health much earlier. So this is really interesting. The chakras are blocked, what do you say, 2 to 3 years before illness,
before it actually manifests at the tissue level in the body.
Yeah, really interesting. Okay, so that's helpful. Should we go over now the kind of the list of chakras, or you want to share any more about the background?
Oh, I'll share about the chakras. So,
okay.
The first chakra, which they call the root chakra, is located at the base of the spine. And that chakra, when it's healthy and vibrating, vibrates to the color of red. And when you think about the issues, they say, for the root chakra, the issues are about feeling safe and secure, about being grounded, about feeling connected to home. So it really is that fight or flight information energy that is there in the root chakra. And that root chakra impacts all the things that are located at the base of the spine. It impacts our bones, and, you know, our blood is made in our bones, so it impacts that. Impacts our legs, our hips. And so if you have someone who's from an abusive relationship or abusive upbringing, you know, you may have some issues in those areas. So if it's in balance, we feel energized, we feel safe, we feel a connection to home, you know, to our job, to our life. But there's some people who'd never feel connection here on the planet, and that could be from abuse or not feeling safe or whatever that foundation. So that's the root chakra. And so if a situation happens in your life from a root chakra perspective, it's saying, is it fight or flight, or are we safe?
Okay.
And then we come up to the second chakra, which is located like right behind the navel area. And when that's in balance, it's a beautiful color of orange. And this chakra deals with our emotions and our creative energy. So if we're having, you know, if it's in balance, we should be feeling joy about life. And, you know, you're in the same field I am of helping people. There's not a lot of people that the majority are feeling joy on the planet.
Wow, yeah.
So if you stay stuck in negative emotions, it's going to impact that second chakra. And just think of all the, you know, your reproductive area is there, your intestines are there, your liver's there. So it's going to impact all those different areas of our biology. And over a long time, if we're really, really negative or carrying heavy emotions, depression is a second chakra issue, addiction is a second chakra issue. If that's out of balance for a really long time, you can see how that would have an impact on someone's health and well-being. So I said it's our creative energy. So you create, that's, you know, how we hold the baby there in the womb in that area. So it's not only birthing that physical creativity, but the creativity that we're meant to express here on the planet. And how many people have a feeling they want to create something, and maybe their parents said, no, you're going to be a teacher, or, you know, you're going to be a doctor, or I don't care that you're a great musician, you know. So if that creative energy isn't being expressed, then that second chakra energy is going to be blocked up as well. And these are all just, you know, small examples. So if a situation happens, the energy goes by the first chakra, is it fight or flight? And then it comes up to the second chakra, and the second chakra says, what is my first feeling about this situation? So, and we all have lots of different kinds of feelings depending on situations that are occurring. But what do we do, you know, what do we do with those feelings? Do they stay there forever? And, you know, you've heard people saying their stories about, oh my God, I can't believe 10 years ago so-and-so did this to me. And they're still holding on to maybe feelings of being hurt. They're holding on to the anger. And, you know, that you can't tell me that's not going to impact their biology on some level when they're still holding that energy, which is like poison and toxin in the body, sitting there. So then, you know, if it's in balance, we're happy, we feel hopeful, joyful, and we're connected with that flow of creativity. So that takes us up to the third chakra, which is located right below the chest where the rib cage makes a V, in that solar plexus area. And this is a chakra that deals with our self-esteem, our self-worth. So where the second chakra was about feelings, the third chakra is about the way we think about ourselves and life. So if it's in balance, you know, your self-worth is in a healthy place. You don't have too much ego. You don't have low self-esteem. It's in a healthy place that keeps you moving in life. If it's out of balance, it could be that you're like a control freak trying to control everyone. It could be that you have very low self-esteem and you allow yourself to be controlled by everyone. This chakra also, if it's in balance, you're very fair and discerning, practicing discernment. But if it's out of balance, it can come across as being very judgmental or critical. And, you know, there's people that you hear that are just so critical, it just makes you want to cringe, like, oh, that hurt. And so when you're in any of those extremes, you are creating low energy in that chakra. And that area, this third chakra, it's going to impact your digestion. And just think how many people, you know, in the U.S. are taking antacids and have digestive issues when just by looking at maybe what they need to take back control from, or maybe they just need to chill out, de-stress a little bit, know they don't have to control everything, how that would make a big impact. So finding that balance there is important. So if a situation happens, is it fight or flight? You have your first feeling, and then you come up to your third chakra, and you have your first thought about whatever that situation is. And then we come up to the heart chakra, and the heart chakra is a bridge between the lower and the upper, but they're all very important. It's just you need to be in all your chakras and have them all balanced. Because some people just say, oh, the heart chakra or the upper chakras are so much more important. And that's not true. We need to have them all opened and balanced and honored. So the heart chakra is that place of unconditional love. Not just, I love you because you're going to do something for me, but that unconditional love. And also a place where it's a place of transformation, because you have all these issues that we're dealing with in these lower chakras. And what do you do with it? Well, you bring it up to the heart chakra to transform it. So the heart says, I can forgive. I can have compassion. I can have empathy. I can take whatever I've experienced at a lower level and transform it so it doesn't sit in my body and create disease. So that heart center, and a lot of people are really good at giving, but they're not good at receiving. So you really need to be able not only to give to others, but to receive that love from others. Because if you're just giving and not receiving, that creates an imbalance in the heart chakra as well. There's another issue I'll just say for this heart chakra area is one of, because the second chakra is about joy, the heart chakra is also about joy. And when people are going through grief, when they get stuck in grief, it impacts the heart chakra area, but it impacts the lungs. That's one of the things I've seen a lot is that people stuck in grief sometimes develop lung cancer. And you can see that they've been watching their spouse die over a 2-year period of cancer. And then after that spouse leaves, within several months, they've got lung cancer because they've started their grieving process, you know, before the person passed. Or 2 to 3 years after their spouse passed, they've got lung cancer because they've never released the grief. So by taking that heart chakra and being able to love that person, but being able to give love back to yourself and to find that place of compassion to restore that wholeness in the heart chakra. Because the heart chakra not only impacts the heart, it's impacting the lungs as well because it's located in that area. So as we go up the chakras, a situation happens. Do I need to fight or flight? Do I have my first emotion? I have my first thought. And I come up to the heart chakra and say, what do I do with what happened? Do I need to forgive? Do I need to love? How do I transform this energy of this situation? Whereas a lot of people never get there. They're living in their lower three chakras and all this stuff just is broiling in there and creating havoc all over their system. I'm not saying I'm perfect and I let go of things. There's some things that I'll hold on to. And sometimes I think it's worse when you know, because you're like, I'm choosing to be this miserable when I could just bring it up and transform it. I don't know anyone that's perfect yet. And then we can bring it up. The next chakra is located at the throat. The heart chakra, when it's in balance, is a beautiful green. The throat chakra, when it's in balance, is like a beautiful sky blue, like an Arizona sky blue color. And it's our chakra of communication. And so you think about, as a child, a lot of times you're told to be seen but not heard. So that begins the beginning of like closing off that throat chakra. And then as for me, growing up as a woman, a lot of times, because you're female, your opinion doesn't count. So then your throat chakra is beginning to close a little bit more. So the throat chakra is about not only communicating, but it's about communicating your truth. So are you connected with your truth, or are you living like your parents' truth? Are you living your community's truth, or the way that your church wants you to live? You know, the throat chakra is about what is your truth. And not only knowing it, but being able to express it and to live it. So it's also about creativity in the way that you speak. And because the throat chakra impacts your arms and hands, the creativity can also be in expressing in art, music, or writing. We do a lot of writing with our hands. So when we're in balance, it's all about speaking your truth. And it's not about making others feel bad, like using your words to hurt others. It's about, you know, projecting your truth in a very respectful way that honors everyone. But being upfront that you're not going to be taken advantage of and you're not going to do what isn't right for you to do, and using your voice to project that. So as a situation happens, like I said, the first chakra Do I need to protect myself or run? Your first feeling, your first thought, bringing it up to the heart, and then speaking about it. And can you imagine when you don't bring it up through the heart, what words come out to speak about a situation? So you know if the person's doing their work on what's coming out of their mouth during a serious situation. And then the next chakra is located in the middle of the forehead. It's called the brow chakra, and some people call it the third eye chakra. And this chakra deals with your assimilation of your lessons. So all these issues and things are going on in your life. I mean, you can't be here on the planet and not have challenges and not have issues to work with. But your third eye, that chakra right there, the brow chakra, is about what do you do with all these things? Do you assimilate the lessons? So what did I learn from this? Am I going to marry the same type of person a third, fourth, and fifth time? Or am I going to say, what lesson did I need to learn here? And can I assimilate that so I don't have to repeat it? You know, you'll have clients that it's just the same situation, just with different people involved. And helping them to get to that point to understand the lesson and assimilate the lesson. So really this area here is not only about assimilation, but it's where you build your wisdom from all of these experiences in life. So it is that wisdom center, building that wisdom, learning as you bring that energy up your chakras. Oh, you know, what did I learn from that? What approach did I take? What do I need to do differently? From that. When this center is open, a lot of times we'll get intuitive guidance. We're not sure where it came from, but it just feels right in our body. So you feel connected to more than who you feel you are as this physical being. And when it's in balance, it's a beautiful indigo blue color that's radiating there. And so you can see, you know, there's a lot of Alzheimer's and dementia, and this would impact, you know, the brain and the eyes as well, with those physical areas there. And so just by having a perspective in life on, you know, what do I need to learn from this situation? What am I willing, maybe I need to let go of something or look at things from a different perspective. And then we get to the, so as you bring it up, like I said, you go to the heart chakra, what can I forgive? Go to the throat chakra, speaking your truth, and then bringing it up to the third eye and saying, what did I learn? And, you know, what wisdom is here? And as we move up the chakras and we get to the crown, that's the seventh chakra. Some people see it as the color of white. Other people see it as the color of purple or gold or a little bit of all of it. This chakra deals with our connection to source, or you want to say God, higher self. And it can be blocked when you have someone else in your life who is like your authority. So sometimes you'll have a really dominant spouse that is the authority. I don't care what your higher self says, or I don't care, you know, this is the way it is. And going on this path that I've been on with energy work, every once in a while I'd have a teacher that thought they were the authority for my beingness, and I'd have to unplug from them when I figured it out. And so when this crown center is open, all the issues that you've dealt with and that you're bringing up the body for healing and to let go of, you release it out the crown center, what you need to surrender. So if you've got stuff that's left over that you don't know what to do with, instead of holding it in one of your chakras and creating a block over time in that chakra, you are bringing the energy up and releasing it up to spirit and saying, you know, I don't want to carry this. I'm surrendering it. And so that way that center remains open and you can have that connection with that higher self and let that energy of grace just bless your body and bless your beingness. Because frankly, I would rather live in that place of grace than a place of being unhappy and angry or just stressed out in life. I mean, just because we're not angry doesn't mean that we're not being impacted by the energy of just stress and that's on the planet and that we're engaged in. So that's like a real short encapsulation of the different chakras and their impact and how they impact our body.
Yeah, so that might have been a short review for me, for you, but really in-depth for me, really helpful. I think that's the best explanation I've heard in a long time. And I was taking a lot of notes, so I will put it all in the show notes if people want to see that all spelled out, so to speak. Yeah, such great information. So I bet people are listening and they're thinking, oh, I wonder if, you know, this problem is blocking this chakra, or this problem is why, which is great. I hope it's getting everyone's curiosity going. So I wondered if you can just tell people further resources. I know you have a book about chakra healing. You offer services. Tell us more.
Okay. All right. So that kind of summarizes the chakras. And I have a book that I've written on the chakras, and there's many chakra books out there. So this one book is called Chakra Empowerment, 24 Days of Transformation. So it talks about the chakras in more depth, but also talks about different things you can do to get the chakras unblocked. So it's not hopeless. None of us are hopeless. You know, with doing acupuncture, that opens things up and, you know, helps get things for people to heal. And so there's things that we can do, actively do in our lives to open up the chakras. And so the book has a lot of information on it. And there are a lot of chakra books out there as well. And I also offer not only in-person Reiki sessions or energy sessions, because I combine a lot of different modalities. I offer them in person and from a distance, work with people that have issues as well, and do a little bit of life coaching with them to help them be part of the healing process. Because like you were saying, a lot of people have that victim consciousness, and I'm not sure they're ever open for that healing, but I love it when people are saying, you know, what can I do to be a part of the healing process? I really want to move this blocked energy. And blocked energy can show up as, I've been trying to make all these changes or get a new job or create a relationship and nothing's happening there. And that can show up as, you know, blocked energy in the system as well. So my website is energytransformations.org, and that's transformations with an S. And there's a lot of information on there, articles about Reiki. I have a free newsletter I send out every other month. You can sign up to be on that mailing list. And my radio talk show, Blog Talk Radio /2modernmystics. blogtalkradio.com/2modernmystics. It talks about, we have a variety of topics for the show, but we do talk about energy, we talk about forgiveness, we talk about self-love, all those things that help to open up the chakras. So those shows are always up there. Feel free to listen to them as well. And my email address is reikidawn@yahoo.com, and that's reikidawn@yahoo.com.
Okay, perfect. Great. So lots of resources. And yeah, talking about energy work is something we do on the show sometimes. I have a episode I did myself on gratitude, and but it's not our main focus. So if you want a more regular dose, you can subscribe to Dawn's show as well, and check out her website if you like kind of more personalized service. So Dawn, thank you so much. This has been really interesting.
Well, thank you so much for having the opportunity to share what I really love talking about and just helping people to, move forward in life, to find that place of wholeness and to find that place of joy again. So thank you for giving me the opportunity. I greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome. And hopefully people got, again, not just interesting, but hopefully people got something out of the show, inspired them to maybe take some new action or forgive someone in their life or
Yes,
whatever it
yes.
may
Put
be.
some more good energy on the planet. Yes.
Yeah, and to our listeners and viewers, we appreciate you. Thanks for tuning in.
Yes,
And if you
you.
ever, yes, we do. And if you ever want to leave a comment on our iTunes, you can rate us there on our iTunes little setting there. And we appreciate it. We'll be back next week with another great show. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.